Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We've been having this conversation, at least I've been having this conversation, about the fluoridation of the water and about ECUA, and you've got a local group of activists who have been, really eagerly and repetitively going to various meetings, particularly ECUA meetings, and trying to get the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority to take fluoride out of the water. We've talked about this with Bruce Woody, who's the executive director. Of course, there's a bill pending in Tallahassee right now that would ban it and would basically take it out of all the water in all the state of Florida. And, so there's been this conversation, right? And the most outspoken, most vehement of the activists is a guy named Rick Fry. And I played for you a bunch of his clips. And, he's very adamant. Well, he showed up at the ECUA meeting. This was last Tuesday. I have to do the math in my head. I think it was Tuesday. And, it's not the way I would say it, but I always like to reward when people are creative, okay? Even if they're creative mean, and this was creative mean, but it was still creative, and I want to give him credit for that. He wrote a poem. He wrote a poem that he read to the ECUA board, and now it's a little long. It's about a minute and 45 seconds, but it wouldn't be unfair to, a poem has rhythm and, it's unfair to interrupt. So here was the anti-fluoride in the water poem that local activist Rick Fry read that, again, I wouldn't play it for you if I didn't think it was interesting and entertaining, but here goes.
You poison our water and you do it with pride. When challenged to debate, you just run and hide. Pensacola politics have always been corrupt. Narcissistic nitwits who just passed the buck. Proof and facts are met with lies and deflection, so I can't wait to troll you during your next election. You can't even pronounce what you put in our water while you ignore the dangers to our sons and daughters. You pretend that fluoride is a miracle cure, magical toxic waste that's pristine and pure, the only poison in the world with no side effects, according to the morons that fluoridated citizens elect. Fools trying to justify medication without consent, who lack morals, integrity, and basic common sense. You sit there in ignorance and act like you're superior, but Plato is right, we're governed by our inferiors. If you can't do your job, you shouldn't hold the positions of power to poison our friends and neighbors when they take a shower. Real leaders would have taken action by now instead of mindlessly supporting your poisonous sacred cow. You're responsible for public safety, but you're not doing your part. You're barely qualified to greet people at Walmart. I hope what Florida Senate does what you've neglected to do. It makes perfect sense that you're associated with trash and poo. How does swallowing poison help prevent tooth decay? Can you think for yourself, or do you just repeat what you're told to say? No one goes to the dentist to treat a brain injury. Quacks parroting propaganda from the phosphate industry. Another part of the problem of this nation's fatal disease, leaving important health decisions up to dumb NPCs. You're why people hate the government and don't trust politicians, because you put your own self-interest over fulfilling your mission. You're on the wrong side of history, and you're why we're doomed to repeat it. You'd still be cheering for asbestos if the CDC said that you need it. You've got computers in your pockets, but you still support toxic waste. Hopefully soon you'll be voted out in disgrace. You're the real disease, the bureaucratic Ebola, when you needlessly poison the people of Pensacola. Perhaps you'd be ashamed of yourselves if you had a higher IQ, but maybe you've all been victims of fluoride, too.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. I mean, listen, whether you agree with him or not, John, can we agree? Very well written.
It was. I was impressed.
Poignant. Outstanding rhyme, rhythm, meter.
Everything.
I mean, it was really, yeah. And, ouch. probably not the most pleasant thing for the pro-fluoride, the ones who are, okay, and not all of them are, members of the ECUA board. But, you got to give credit to somebody when they're creative. At least I think. And, that was just...
That was
a very, very well-written, creative, vicious, vicious thing.
Wow.
One of the things that's going on with that is, as we talked to Bruce Woody about this, is they're partially planning on doing, having a referendum in 2026. Obviously, if the thing gets made, gets made to be illegal by the state, that will solve all of these problems. I think right now they're kind of waiting to see what happens in session, because whatever happens in session will obviously have a direct impact on what happens in terms of fluoridating the water in, Escambia County. So anyway, I heard that the other day. I thought it was interesting, entertaining, poignant, and
Oh no, it was really good.
I can't even remember all the like the lines. I kind of you know
were so
he almost
good.
He almost went so too fast,
right?
Because your brain is still processing it. But you know, I mean, I do that too, right? Guilty. So I understand. 8:14 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I mentioned before that it is the 100th anniversary of the Sanger Theater, opened in 1925, April 2nd. Folks like Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, Robin Williams, Jerry Seinfeld, from vaudeville to Broadway, all kinds of things. So what's going on today, it's the official 100th anniversary celebration and street party. There's going to be Phantom of the Opera. There's all kinds of stuff going on downtown. You can go to PensacolaSanger.com for tickets and event details. But yeah, very cool stuff happening today. Very interesting to think of that as being 100 years young today. Men Who Cook comes up April 27th, Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Resource Center. I'll be cooking. 30 local men cooking for the Pace Center for Girls, great charity. And so you can come out and join us. It's an interesting time for one of these. It's on a Sunday. It's always on a Sunday afternoon, which is always a bit just different, you know, because most of your events are like Saturday or Friday. Anyway, that's a good one, and obviously benefits a good charity. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Highway 29. As you approach the I-10 eastbound ramp through that construction zone right there. Vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock. I'm starting to see some backups on Highway 29. So if you're trying to get on I-10 eastbound that way, just try an alternate route. Let's see here. Everything else is looking good. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, somebody mentioned, you know, I hadn't even thought about this. Sounds like they had done a ChatGPT or what's the newest one? I don't use the AIs very often, so I don't know. But they'd used one and they'd put it on the full mean setting.
Full mean.
No, but I don't think I don't know. I mean, but we've done some chants through AI and they don't come out that good. Like
no.
They're not that clever.
No,
that's
not that good.
That's human inspiration, if you ask me. If you're thinking about getting that perfect green, beautiful, lush lawn come say June or July, well, you want to be thinking about that. Now is the time where you plan ahead for that. And NSEC will help you have that healthy lawn with the program they have to, you know, make it lush and keep weeds to a minimum with 8 annual applications that are timed, programmed, and targeted to get your lawn what it needs when it needs it. It's easy to get started with a free lawn analysis and an estimate. Costs you nothing, of course. The initial soil sample will tell you what kinds of specific amendments are needed for your yard to get your lawn successful. Nutrient applications with every standard service visit, along with seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, turf-damaging insect control, and fungicide. Also, if you want, they have a healthy landscape program for tree and shrub care and aeration and grass plugs in addition to the healthy lawn program. Sign up today, get $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program, and that includes that initial soil test and lime treatment on an average-sized yard. Sign up today or get more information at NSEC.net.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Hey, fellow Gen Xers, it's Elizabeth Banks. Big news! The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the charge. After all, we gave the world the internet. We're trailblazers. Let's lead the way again, because we are at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Head to VaxAssist.com and schedule today. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like... the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Doc, been hitting awful hard, haven't you?
Nonsense. I've not yet begun to defile myself.
Wild Boys! Wild Boys! Wild Boys! Wild Boys!
Good morning, 820 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Great to have you with us on this beautiful, overcast, weird Wednesday morning.
What window are you looking out of? Because the one I'm seeing...
Whatever. Oh, man. So I was out at the Hilton last night on the beach for the Pace Awards, which is always a really neat celebration. It's really neat to see, you know, community members celebrating community members and people who do amazing things and, you know, make Pensacola go round, you know, like really accomplish tons of stuff. And, you know, some of the folks who won awards are, I don't even say win is not really the right, but we're, you know, acclaimed, essentially. Cindy Bonner, director of Raleigh Gulf Coast for her work on cancer, advocate leader. Dr. David Ballar from UWF, he's a leader in education. Brett Aldridge, a friend who's a Baptist Healthcare COO, got business leader. Kristen Longley, director of public affairs for Cox, got community leader. Will Condon, another friend. Both of them were in my Leadership Pensacola class. So we had two Leadership Pensacola Class 2016 winners last night, President and CEO of Ascension Sacred Heart, professional leader, Sam Young from Pensacola Habitat, emerging leader, Jen Grove from Baptist, Spirit of Pensacola Award, and the Pioneer Award, Dr. Marcus Paul. And the speech that he gave was really good. My recording of it is not that great, but I think I'll be able to share some of that with you tomorrow. It was interesting because he's basically he's a much older black man, and so as a dentist, right, and other things, having gone through a time when, you know, like you really couldn't be a dentist, you know, like that was a thing, right, you know, at a certain point. So his speech was very, very interesting. But also last night on the beach, it was Bands on the Beach. I think it was the first night. Was that right? Last night was the kickoff? Yeah. And so let me tell you what the experience is of somebody trying to find a parking space at 7 o'clock at the beach. It's hard. There's no parking. I couldn't believe it. You know, used to be able to park in the Hilton, and then they stopped that, and then they say go park across the street. Well, that's a red lot. I'm not going anywhere near that crap. But you could always park in the Casino Beach lot right by the beach ball. Mm-mm. I parked by the Sheriff's substation and then walked over to the Hilton. Like, that's the closest parking that I could find. So it was packed out last night. 823 here on News Radio 92.3, or should I say 0823? Or is it 0923? Did we go to American Standard Time yet or not? We did not. It was April Fool's, people. Come on. Oh, and by the way, yes, I 100% absolutely will have one again next year. Absolutely, 100% again. It was so sad the time when April Fool's falls on a weekend. I feel so cheated. It's my favorite thing. I'm warning you in advance. Next year on April Fool's Day, there will be an April Fool's Day fake news story by me. You won't remember. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Pentagon is reviewing physical standards for combat roles. They want to make sure there's no exceptions being made for female soldiers. New Pentagon memo says Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered a 60-day review of physical standards to ensure female troops are not being given exceptions. Boeing CEO Kelly Ortberg is testifying before the Senate Commerce Committee today about efforts to improve aircraft safety. The company has faced several serious issues in recent years since the mid-flight blowout of the door plug last year. According to a copy of Ortberg's planned remarks, he plans to say that Boeing has made serious missteps and is changing the structure of the company. And
By the way, yeah. Mid-flight blowout of the door plug is a fantastic turn of phrase. Yes. I mean, that is a beautiful expression describing a horrible thing, but it's quite eloquent. Anyway, go on.
Steven Spielberg and George Lucas are at the top of Forbes' latest list of celebrity billionaires. Forbes ranks the world's wealthiest people. The list includes 18 celebrities this go around, with Spielberg topping the list at $5.3 billion. Lucas had $5.1 billion.
By the way, did you see the story that is sort of Spielberg adjacent? The resurgence of reports that we know where the Ark of the Covenant is.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, it's based on like some 1980s project where they assigned remote viewers, what you would think of as a psychic, to vision the location of the Ark of the Covenant. And there's a claim that, you know, the CIA knows. Well, I mean, of course they know. It's in row 48B of the giant warehouse where they wheeled it right after, you know, Indiana Jones discovered it, right? So, of course they know where it is. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting little side note. Caught our attention this morning as Fox was reporting on that. David, were you done? Did you have a third story? We're done.
No, that was my third.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. I can't count to three. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Highway 29 as you're trying to get on the I-10 eastbound ramp. Just seeing some minor delays associated with that now. But the major delays are if you're approaching the Avalon, the Garcon Point Bridge, you're going to see delays. That's about a 10 to 15 minute delay going eastbound, getting you to the Garcon Point Bridge through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. I would love to do this as a frivolous topic. I think it's too hard to think of. A lot of the frivolous topics I don't do because they're too, you know, like you really have to come up with something. Like it's really hard to come up with something. But I see on Facebook an interesting post. It's one of those, like, you know, Lisa Simpson saying it kind of things is how it's presented. But it's, instead of remaking great movies, they should remake bad movies that were based on good stories, but the movie wasn't well made.
Yeah, you'd have to give me like day prep.
Give me
for
a couple
that.
Days.
Yeah.
To think of my category participants.
Yeah, because
right?
I just.
But no, isn't that a great idea that if you go and look for movies that, you know, how many times have you seen a movie, you know, it sounds like a great premise, you got great actors, good director, and you watch a movie, you're like,
really?
Oh, cool.
Really?
No, it's a great note that instead of taking things that worked well, take things that should have worked well and redo them, or take things that are great true stories that didn't get well made. So since we're in this vicinity, I'm gonna share with you one of my biggest pet peeves about movies. As a lover, I'm a cinephile for sure. I love movies. You know that. I hate based on a true story movies that then change everything. Like if the story, because then I watch a based on a true story movie and then I have to go to the internet, which parts were false, what was different. I always figure if the story is good, then tell the good story. Stop embellishing it with your felt need to amalgamate characters into one character or to add characters for dimension or depth or to create a fake villain who wasn't really, there was no such villain in that real story. You know, just tell the story. If it's a good story, you already know it's a good story. Just tell the story. I always think this about Bible movies. You know, Bible movies that change things. I'm like, bro, it's a
yes,
Bible story.
Exactly.
You know, it's literally the greatest book ever written. You can just tell the story as it is. Now, every Bible story is going to have details that are omitted because, you know, they tell a two-hour story in two pages. You know, that's how it is. But you can maybe wiggle around within the lines, so to speak, but don't change the story. If it's a great story, make the story. I don't know why I say it in that tone of voice. 828 here.
I don't either. I was just, wow, you got high pitched there.
Yeah, I get very, very. Oh, no, this is interesting. People are giving
yes,
suggestions.
They are.
Okay. Let's see. I knew you, Andrew, April fooled us yesterday. That was a great one, though, on the time zone. Let's see. There's some really good, mean AI. I'm not sure what that is. Let's see. I like Atlas Shrugged. Oh, no. Oh, see? Fantastic book. Terrible movie. Wonder Woman 1984. Oh, we do have entrance into this category. Frivolous topic a little early here. Okay. They said they got several of their coworkers to fall for the April Fool's story.
Oh, I know.
Oh, that's like the best compliment, though. That's
I'm telling
not,
you.
I fell for it, and I told my coworkers, and then I felt really embarrassed even though I was laughing, or I shared it not realizing. No. I laughed. I thought it was worth sharing with other people, and I got them to, I appreciate you. Snow White. Okay, good example. Well, so Snow White's a good example of it was beautifully made. It's been remade, I think, more than once, a couple times, but the recent one is just a total flop. I haven't even seen it, but, you know.
I'm not going to.
But that's an example of, instead of making another Snow White, find another Grimm's fairy tale, yes. Right? There are so many.
So many.
Or, you know, find a Greek myth that hasn't been made. There's so many great ones. Somebody says, some of these movies have a great premise or, you know, could have a good thought. And they said, what about all the new Star Wars movies remaking? Or maybe the mid-set, you know, the first three, something like that. That's a good idea. You know, I don't find something that needs remaking because it was inadequate the first time or the second time and then make that one better. Or maybe just don't ever make a Dukes of Hazzard movie ever again. I don't know.
What? No. Is there one coming out?
Oh, no. They made a Dukes of Hazzard movie.
Oh, I know. So we just need to redo it with updated charger and everything.
It was terrible. It was disturbingly bad. So anyway, somebody says they shared and they got a lot of folks at that. I love that. A Waterworld. That's interesting. Based on
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Republicans pick up two more seats in the House. Randy Fine wins the special election to fill a seat vacated by Trump National Security Advisor Mike Waltz in Florida.
I have now gotten your vote because President Trump asked you to vote for me. But now it's incumbent upon me over the next 2 years to show you that I am worthy of that trust.
Also in Florida, Jimmy Patronis wins the seat vacated by Matt Gaetz. Judge Susan Crawford's win in Wisconsin maintains a 4-3 liberal majority on the state Supreme Court.
I will be a fair, impartial, and common sense justice.
She accused Elon Musk of trying to buy the election for her opponent, Brad Schimmel. Actor Val Kilmer died 65 years old, here back as Iceman in the Top Gun sequel.
The Navy needs Maverick.
He mostly lost his voice to throat cancer treatment. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 72 degrees. It's cloudy. This morning, we'll get more on our forecast with Marion Caldwell and Channel 3 in just a few minutes. Florida CFO Jimmy Patronis emerged victorious in his bid for the District 1 Congress seat vacated by Matt Gaetz last year. Patronis said it was a difficult campaign as events were limited early on due to the holidays. And he says Democrat sources not in Northwest Florida funneled a lot of money into his opponent, Gay Valamon's campaign.
It was just brutal. I mean, we were getting carpet bombed from capital coming from all over the country, $6.5 million. And none of that money was from Northwest Florida. It was all from all over the country trying to change the hearts and minds of Northwest Florida. And I'm just proud to say that Northwest Florida, they are an educated voter and they were not going to be swayed by the manipulation of what we saw of our opponents.
And election results being announced last night. In District 6 in Florida, State Senator Randy Fine won the special election to replace Mike Waltz. In the District 6 seat, both candidates were endorsed by President Trump. An Escambia County man's accused of running a dog-fighting ring. 32-year-old Journey Purifoy was arrested Friday after animal control officers responded to his home and found evidence that dogs were being trained to fight at the property.
There's ropes outside. There's all these different instruments of training, that is what you would call them. And our investigations got involved, and we were able to put together a search warrant.
Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs with the Sheriff's Office, he said once a search warrant was served, more evidence was found, such as IV bags, a book on training dogs for combat, and firearms at the home as well. Hobbs said the alleged dog fighting ring was sickening, but he says that type of illicit activity also draws in other crimes like drugs and illegal gambling. Purifoy faces animal cruelty charges. He'll be back in court later this month. The Coast Guard says they caught almost 100 people trying to enter the U.S. illegally. The 7th District Coast Guard announcing that They repatriated 99 aliens to Haiti. They were caught at sea last week. Florida's recovering tens of millions from a property insurance company that's accused of fraud. Attorney General James Utmeyer announcing yesterday that Universal Property and Casualty Insurance Company has agreed to return more than $30 million to the Florida Hurricane Catastrophe Fund. They also agreed to pay more than $4 million in fines. The company was accused of fraudulently submitting ineligible claims for reimbursement. Utmeyer says it's the first time his office has secured repayment related to an insurance fraud case. He said in order to have a healthy and stable insurance market, companies must play by the rules. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Highway 29 as you're trying to get onto the I-10 eastbound ramp. They're in the clearing stages of it, but you're seeing some minor delays associated with that one. Also, if you're going 98 eastbound approaching Garcelon Point Bridge, you're going to see maybe a 10 to 12 minute delay. But other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast.
Clouds will make way for some afternoon sun, and that'll help temperatures to climb into those middle and upper 70s, maybe even some lower 80s in some spots. It will be on the breezy side as we will see a southeast wind gusting up to about 25 miles per hour throughout the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
Thank you, Marion. 71 right now in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Your money now this morning. Markets are down. The Dow is down 243 points at 41,755. S&P down 40 points at 55,93. NASDAQ is down 154 points at 17,295 this morning. 10-year bond rate is down a bit at 4.129%. Gold prices up $13 at $31.59. Silver up 20 cents. At $34.51, and Bitcoin's up. The rest of the crypto market down so far this morning. Bitcoin right now up 241 at 85,233. Taking a look at some of our financial headlines today. President Trump holding an event at the Rose Garden this afternoon. He's calling it America's Liberation Day. New tariffs are expected to take effect today against Canada, Mexico, China, and the European Union. That event, again, scheduled at 3 p.m. this afternoon. The Atlanta Federal Reserve is cutting its final quarter GDP forecast to a negative 3.7% annual rate. That's down from the Fed's mid-March projection that 2025 would see 1.7% GDP growth. Analysts say the latest forecast is a troubling sign the economy is weakening faster than expected. And the number of job openings fell slightly for February. The Labor Department says 6.7 million jobs were available at the end of the month. That's down by about 900,000 year over year. 8:37, our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, today is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Sandwich Day, and I will tell you right from the beginning, I do not eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, so I'm going to be an awkward participant in this conversation, but I know a lot of you love them.
You don't eat them?
No, I'm a peanut butter and brown sugar is my preference.
Ew.
No jelly?
Why ew?
I don't know. I've just never heard of that before in my life.
Why don't you go try it?
Okay.
Come back to me.
Come back to me and tell me what you think.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to be an awkward participant in this conversation. But the question is, and I, by the way, I will tell you, I am resurrecting a conversation that was Scott Chambers had done on this on Pensacola Right Now, like, God, 6 or 8, 10, a long time ago. 7 years ago, something like that, a long time ago. And I remember he talked about this like for an hour. So we're not going to talk about it for an hour. But the question is, how do you make one? How do you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Because you will be surprised at what some people will say. So, John, tell me your process. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, how do you make it?
With the bread first.
You're not helping, but all right, go ahead. So,
okay, well, you
take out bread, then you take out jelly, then you take out peanut butter, then you get a knife. Okay, go on.
All right, so peanut butter on one side.
Yep.
Jelly on the other piece of bread.
And then you marry them together.
Yes.
Okay, like a normal person.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's normal to me.
It is, right? Okay, Meg?
Well.
Here we go. Here we go.
Well, boys.
I like crunchy peanut butter, first of all.
Fair enough.
And I put the peanut butter on both slices of bread.
Double peanut butter.
And then put the jelly on both slices on top of the peanut
butter. You spread, so you spread the low viscosity jelly atop the high viscosity peanut butter, which is a challenging task. Jelly is slippery and peanut butter sticky.
Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. I knew what you meant. Men sometimes.
Well, you looked
ladies
at me like, what do you mean viscosity? I'm like, surely you know.
It was just
don't
a
call
really,
me Shirley.
It was just a really big word coming okay from you.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
All right.
He gives
fair
me
enough
those every morning, especially
fair
like 5 a.m.
All right. You got me.
Okay, then.
So what's your, so you're double peanut butter, double jelly.
If I'm going down that road, it's all the way.
Okay, it's so double, you're double. It's like the double stuffed peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, but
question
though,
I don't have
though
it that often.
But okay, so hear me out.
Okay.
Why not just put twice as much peanut butter on one side and twice as much jelly on the other side, and then you don't have the viscosity problem?
Because it's not the same. Because it's the taste of the peanut butter against the bread. Don't look at me like that.
I wish I'm going to say this, and I'm going to feel bad for saying it, but I wish I understood what was going on inside your mouth. 437-16.
Wow.
Wow.
That's all I have to say is wow.
I don't know how to follow that.
How do you
that
follow
one?
That? Okay, so there is yet another answer. There is yet another answer. I'm going to see if anybody gives us, but I am because I do peanut butter and brown sugar, it's peanut butter, brown sugar in between, because peanut butter does not stick to bread, so you cannot do it with the peanut butter on the one side, or with the brown sugar on the one side.
Okay.
But jelly, of course, does stick to bread. If you wanted to do it that way, I'm not saying you should, although I did. 437-1620, text in your thoughts on the right way to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Let's see. Crunchy and strawberry fig preserves. Okay, but no methodology here. Toasted bread. Did you do toasted bread or untoasted bread?
Oh, no.
Bread? Have you ever tried toasted bread?
By accident, yes.
I haven't either. There's something, if it doesn't gum up your mouth, it's not a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, though, right? Like, it's supposed to stick to your mouth and make it hard to talk.
The question is, how do you slice it?
Oh, well, that's a whole other conversation.
That's what I thought.
Did you do creative? When I had for the boys, I would always do creative slicing for the boys and cut it into five pieces. And they're like, cut it creative, Dad. Do it your way. You know, and then you're like,
ain't nobody got no time for that.
All right, sweet brown. 437-1620. Toasted bread. Spread the crunchy peanut butter on the one side. Spread the jelly on the other side, and then marry them together. Somebody here says creamy peanut butter on one side and blackberry jelly on the other side, and put them together. Again, like what I would say as a normal person, Meg. And somebody else says, here we go. Okay, here we go. This is the controversy. I knew there'd be somebody. I put peanut butter in a bowl. I add jelly into the bowl.
Oh.
And I stir them together and spread the mixture on the bread.
But then you got to clean the bowl.
But the advocates will say, but you get the best distribution.
Well, that's a good mix.
It is a good mix. And is it punishment to eat the mix? That's just batter, right? You look the bowl for the batter or you spatula it, right?
This Don't has you? Gotten deep.
John Pickens has got traffic on the ties. 437-1620. 437-1620.
Never thought about that. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. They're family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Highway 29 as you approach the I-10 East entrance there. So it's in the clearing stage. It's not seeing very many delays associated with it, but I wanted you to be aware of it. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle or maybe just kind of vaguely wondering if it's time, I know the typical way you think about the people who are going to sell you a car is that they're the adversary. They're the enemy. They're going to try to take advantage of you and, you know, keep you from getting the car you want and make you pay more for it than it should be and all the, or give you the car you shouldn't get. Okay. Instead of thinking about them as the adversary or the enemy, think of them as an ally. Like Frontier Motors is like an ally. I mean, they want to be helpful to you over the rest of your life with all of your used cars. And so think of them as a consultant, you know, somebody who can give you car buying guidance, an advisor. Go ask a question. I mean, they're genuinely experts about cars. So ask them what features people like or don't like. You know, you want to get a sedan, but you're not sure what the best one is. And, you know, you've always liked Hondas or you've always liked Fords or whatever, but maybe they've changed. Maybe they're less reliable or more reliable or whatever. That's the point. They see thousands of cars. They can help you figure out what's the right one for you. And if you ask them, they might be able to help. Now, follow their advice. Don't follow their advice. But, you know, why would you approach them as the adversary? Don't do it that way. They're the ally. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to the question of the day, which is how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, since it is peanut butter and jelly sandwich day. We so far have peanut butter on one side, jelly on the other side. Mary, a very heterosexual approach to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Then we have Meg with her peanut butter and then jelly and then jelly. And then there's a lot of cooks in that kitchen. And then we have mix them both in a bowl.
Oh, he is really...
put them together.
And she says she uses a paper bowl. So she got past my argument.
Oh, okay. So it's disposable.
Yeah.
Somebody here says the value of peanut butter on both sides, this is to Meg's point, is that the jelly doesn't get absorbed into the bread and sog up the bread.
Thank you very much for that support. I really appreciate it.
And also, you get the joy of the jelly squishing out everywhere because you put way too much on it. Fair.
Because that's fabulous.
That's going to happen. That's right. Let's see. I discovered the joy of PB&J later in life. It really doesn't matter how you make it, but peanut butter on one slice and J on the other is easiest, easy, and wonderful. Let's see. I can't see her, Meg, and I am looking at her funny.
Well, right back at you.
Somebody says here, Andrew, in today's discussion, you're pronouncing pizza wrong. Like, you should be eating pizza instead. This is our good friends, Jess and Chase, who got the food truck. 437-1620. Mix the peanut butter and jelly together and then put it on the bread. Okay, there's a pre-mix. Okay. Don't they sell that?
Yes.
There is a... Right? Okay. Yeah. Only way is have mom make it and eat it with chicken.
Chicken noodle soup.
That's pretty good. I'm going to eat the sandwich right now. It's peanut butter on the one, jelly on the other. If I'm making sandwiches for later, it's peanut butter on both sides and light on one, heavy on the other, and the jelly on both sides, light on the peanut. I didn't follow all the last of that, but that's probably to preserve the bread. Because, if it's a make for later.
Absolutely.
I mean, have you ever, because if you get a make for later peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it's basically... it's like wet bread and peanut butter is what you get. And that's doesn't always work out that well. White bread, smooth or creamy peanut butter on one slice, jelly on the other. Uncut, not toasted, strawberry, grape, raspberry, blackberry, or blueberry only. Why uncut? The cutting is the fun. Well, anyway, for the kids. Somebody's got to mix first. Somebody's got a grilled. Oh, like grilled cheese, except... Ooh, you know what reminds me? I'm suddenly into this. Like, even though I don't like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Did you ever do those? You go camping and it's two pieces of metal with a long handle, and you stick the sandwich in and you clamp it, and then you cook it in the fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly in that I'd eat.
That's interesting.
Good. But neither of you have ever tried peanut butter and brown sugar.
No.
No, sir. That must be a northern thing.
I don't know. My stepdad taught me that. And it's my boys love it. It's a great sandwich. Just, you try it. Tell me if I'm wrong. 850 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
April 12th is the biggest party of the year. Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret of Curiosities. Revelry reimagined as the entire building and surrounding block turns into an entertainment complex for one night. The fanciful theme revels in all things magical, mystical, enchanting, and charming as attendees wind through inexplicable oddities. It's an all-inclusive event that includes 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, celebrating Easter at Great Southern, Fish House, Beer Fest tickets, and Jackson's Spring Menu Rollout, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You need any help? With what?
You figured it out yet?
What's that?
Who's the best pilot?
No, I think I can figure that one out on my own.
You know, Val Kilmer made a lot of movies. There are a handful of movies that are truly outstanding, and his portrayal of, obviously, Iceman's classic and Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick, but Doc Holliday and Tombstone, Mad Mardigan and Willow. Was it Chris, I think, in Real Genius? And then in when he was in Top Secret, and then there were also some other movies. he was very good, in a lot of those movies, but those are the ones that you really remember. And, of course, he's passed away now at the age of 65, which is, young. And we're into that era, that era, if you're a Gen Xer or adjacent, where, it's going to start to be a lot. It's going to start to be a lot of people you grew up with are going to start passing away because they're probably a little older than you are, and they've gotten to that age where it's going to be, your musical heroes and your TV and your movies and all that kind of stuff. So not to make you extra sad on top of a sad moment, but it is going to, I'm preparing you. This is not to be surprising when this starts to happen. So 8:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Oh, a couple of military notes. This is, you know, take it for what you will. The U.S. Naval Academy has ended affirmative action in admissions. No surprise under the Trump administration that they're going to just stop considering what race, gender, any kind of status in their admissions process, which I'm a fan of. I don't think that we ought to be having, you know, category-based admissions. It's also, you know, it's actually kind of an interesting one, the issue about diversity, because in the military academies, because on the one hand, and I do not care about race and gender diversity or, you know, geographic diversity. I think these things don't count for much. I do care about ideological diversity, and that's why in a college campus, I actually think it is important to have liberals and conservatives and atheists and religious people and lots of mixing together of ideas. That's what college is for. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why, generally speaking, I'm not a big fan of the, you know, like religious higher education. It can be done well, but a lot of times it doesn't accomplish what I think of as the purpose of a liberal arts education, which is to expose you to a lot of stuff, to learn a lot of things and to know what other people think that might not be the thing that you think, even the very hostile thing to the thing that you think. But that said, in the military academies, diversity of viewpoint, because the military academy is, I mean, it's teaching you how to think, right? It's teaching you a way to think, to be prepared to lead in that particular institution. And though you want to be presented with a diversity of views so that you can analyze a problem from a lot of different perspectives, that same question about diversity of thought, I just never thought about it. I don't know. I don't know, because in the military, you're not really trying to produce diversity. You're trying to produce a single homogenous thing that's going to do a goal of, you know, breaking things and killing people and winning wars. So it's just, you know, I don't know. I've never thought much about it. But as far as getting rid of affirmative action based on, you know, race or gender, I mean, good, good. You know, make warfighters and make the best warfighters, whoever that happens to be. There's a second story related to this, which I'm not as thrilled about, but I think I want to know more details. I'll tell you about that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Now we're rolling accident-free, not seeing anything to block your way in. I-10, I-110 are actually looking really good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. This story just came out yesterday. The AP reports that the Naval Academy has now removed 400 books from the library after being told by somebody in the Defense Department, Pete Hegseth's office, to review about 900 books and then to remove the ones that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. Again, my question is, what books are in the library at the U.S. Naval Academy? I've never been there. I do not know. I wouldn't think that Entango Makes Three. Or The Bluest Eye. You know, I wouldn't think that the books we normally think of, and the books we think of as controversial for school children, I would think just don't even exist at the Naval Academy. You know, so and we haven't been furnished with a list, and I would guess that the kind of books the Naval Academy would have on hand would not be the kind of books that everybody would necessarily know. So I have just a lot of questions. I could see where the list of books, if I knew them or knew enough about them, I would be able to say that, yeah, those books don't really belong in the Naval Academy Library because they are at odds with the president's directives on these matters. Not that I am 100% in agreement with his directives on these matters, but I could see. But I just want to know more, because I just wouldn't think that the titles of books at the Naval Academy would be relevant in this issue. But I don't know. I don't know. Is there some, you know, how to get the most out of your black enlisted on a submarine? You know, like what would the DEI book look like? I don't know. You know, what to do when men don't want to fight alongside women in the, you know, SEALs. Like, I don't even know what the books would be that would get on the list or why they would get, you know, dinged. So I just have questions more than I have conclusions. And that should always be the order. The questions before the conclusions. And then the last one that's on the military also, and this is I find this a frustrating story because there has been a pattern of neglect of the quality of life of our service members over the years. It's a really bad problem across the services. Everything from life on the ship to life on the base, to life in the, you know, base housing has been an issue, a lot of issue. Drinking water quality, all of these things. Okay. And now we got a story out of Naval Air Station Key West, NAS Key West, where nearly 200 current and former residents have filed a claim, a lawsuit against the contractor the Navy used to maintain the houses there. Balfour Beatty, I think is how you say it, a massive company that manages more than 40,000 military homes across 50 bases, they say concealed the horrific conditions from unsuspecting servicemen and women and their families. And when these conditions were discovered and reported, Balfour systematically failed to properly repair and remediate significant problems. This is bad. This is abusive. This is dangerous. This is unfair. We all agree. The question is, what are we going to do to fix it? Dealing with you know, I don't know. This is sometimes key jobs also, not just servicemen. I mean, everybody's a key job, but they have been the bad actor many times in the past. They had to pay $65 million in fines after some falsifying of maintenance records back to 2013. So just a, you know, maybe a story to pay attention to.